As a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, there should be some distinctive characteristics or distinct characteristics that set you apart from the world today. In other words, as children of God, there should be a difference between how the world lives or how the world lives their lives and how we, as born-again believers, live our lives. Can the world see the difference in each and every one of us today? Can your friends see the difference in you since you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Can your family see the difference in you since you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If the world cannot see the difference, then what is the attraction for them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ if they don't see any difference in your life? Let's name a couple of these distinct characteristics that set us apart, and then we will zero in on one of them for today. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you turn with me there, and it seems like recently we have gone to this scripture several times, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So when we talk about a characteristic that should be a distinct characteristic between us and the world today is that born-again experience. That we have come into the knowledge of the truth, know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we have that brand new in our life. By my faith in Christ, I have been born again. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. My old life is gone. My old nature is gone. My walk in this life has changed. I have a new nature, a new set of values, a new motivation in my life. My new goal is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and not serve myself. That should be a distinct characteristic in all of our lives. The world will see the difference. There needs to be an attraction in our lives for people to be drawn to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ because they see a difference in our lives. They should see more peace. They should see more joy. They should see more contentedness in our life because we're now walking in the truth and the grace of the Scripture instead of walking in ourselves. Number two, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. So number one, that we've been born again, entering into the kingdom of God. Number two, that we walk by faith and we do not walk by sight. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. You're already there. This is what it says in verse 7. "For we walk by faith and not by sight. By walking in faith, I am not walking by the course of this world," meaning not by what the world thinks is true, but by what I know is true, and that is the Scripture and the truth of the gospel. In the sovereignty and the truth of the Scripture is how that I live my life today, and it's what leads my life. I no longer walk by a secular worldview of life, but I walk by a biblical worldview. Example, my lifestyle, my life beliefs. My lifestyle and life beliefs are based on the Scripture, not by my wants or what the world is promoting to be true. Not in what this world says is okay. But I walk in the truth of the Scripture. In regards to marriage, in regards to male and female, in regards to creation, I believe what the Word of God says, not by what man thinks, and I stand alone in truth of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and we do not walk by sight. Another translation says it this way: "For we live by believing and not by seeing." We live by believing and not by seeing. The third distinct characteristic that sets us apart from the world: no longer is our life driven and guided and directed by the flesh, as we as children of God are led by the Spirit of the living God. So turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 12, it says this. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and the daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You can know if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you leave this room today, there should be no doubt in your life of whether you're saved, whether you've been born again, whether you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, because the Scripture says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Glorified together. Verse 14 again says this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Yes, God has a plan and he has a purpose for each and every one of our lives, but that plan and purpose is of God's design. It's not of our own design. That plan and that purpose is not to be found apart from God, but is found walking with God. It is found in him as you are led by the Spirit. I am no longer led by the flesh. I am led by the Spirit of God. And not every Christian connects himself to this. You don't have a church life, you don't have a spiritual life, and you don't have your own life. You have your life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been born again. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are led and guided by the Spirit of God in everything you do, everything you say, and everything you think. We make the decision if we're going to walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. Have we tapped into that in our life that no matter what we're doing, whether I'm going to work, I'm going to buy a car, I'm going to change jobs, I'm going to make financial decisions, I'm going to do this, I'm going to respond to this person, I'm going to respond to that person, that I am going to be led by the Spirit in all of those things. Never taking off on my own and doing my own thing. Was Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, was he led by the Spirit of God or was he not? He was led by the Spirit of God in everything he did, everything he said, and everything he thought. And God says, you now have the ability to do that because the Spirit of God is now in your life. The world does not have that. They're making financial decisions through the flesh. They're making decisions how to respond to people through the flesh. We are not supposed to ever be that way, but that we walk in the Spirit because we are led by the Spirit of God in every decision that we make. So many people separate that out. Well, this is what I do when I'm here, but this is what I do when I'm over here. That plan and that purpose is of God's design for your life, not your own. It's never to be apart from God. It is found in him as you're led by the Spirit. In verse 12 again, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. We are debtors. You owe that, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, but we are debtors to the Spirit of God to be led by the Spirit of God, no longer led by self, but by the Spirit of the living God. Of these three distinct characteristics, they set us apart from the world. And I know there's others, but these are three that I wanted to point to today. This one is the most visible. Now think about it. It's the most visible in your life. Remember, number one, the born again experience. Number two is that we're walking by faith and not by sight. And number three, that we are led by his Spirit. You can tell me that you're born again. And I can say, well, great, that's awesome. I'm excited for you that you have that new life of Jesus in your life. You can tell me that you're walking by faith. And I would tell you that's fantastic. I encourage you to continue that faith walk. But when we say that we are walking by the Spirit, it will show up in everything that you say and everything you do in every aspect of your life. I can tell whether you're walking in the Spirit or not. How can I tell that? Because I've walked in the flesh most of my life. But now that I walked in the Spirit of God, and I'm being led by the Spirit of God, and I'm walking by faith and not by sight, because I am a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am a new creation in Jesus Christ, I can recognize it. You recognize it in your own life. Can you not recognize it in other people's lives, whether they're walking in the flesh or they're walking in the spirit, on how they respond, how they react to something? Look again. As I am walking in the spirit, I will no longer walk in what I think or in what I know best in. Look again at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Over that last year, look at your emails and your Facebook account. Can everyone that reads them recognize that you are a Christian and that you're led by the Spirit, or that you're led by the flesh? One who is walking in the Spirit and one that is not walking in the flesh. Can you tell? You can tell that about yourself. Man, messed that up, got over in the flesh there. Man, I messed that up, I got over in the flesh there. I need to get back into unity of the Spirit and to be led by the Spirit. You know, I used to tease people. I am on Facebook now. Be careful what you put on there. I am on Facebook now, and the only reason I got on Facebook is because of the starting of the school, to communicate with the parents and see what the parents are saying and see what the teachers are saying. This is the only reason. I used to tease people when they say, are you on Facebook? I'd always say, no, I've got a life. No, I've got a life. I don't need to be on Facebook. Because so many times the people that are, they're getting on Facebook to either brag about themselves, brag about this, or brag about that, which I think is very fleshly. And another thing, that other people, they get on Facebook so they can see what other people see and see what other people are posting, and then you say, yeah, I always thought that about them. I knew they weren't a Christian. I knew they were walking in flesh. You see that? You see that what they're doing? And brother and sister, you've got to stop and think about it. When you start doing that, you're getting involved in gossiping. I mean, then people will say, well, that's not gossiping just because you're pointing out the truth. Oh, yes, it is. You remember when the Lord Jesus says, when a man thinketh in his heart, he has already committed adultery? That expands from that. It expands into other areas of our life. It's not only what you do, but also what you think and how you're acting upon that. That you have to make sure that you keep yourself true to the Word of God. Maybe that person has got over in the flesh, but that doesn't mean you're supposed to get over in the flesh with them. You're supposed to stay in the Spirit. Then I'm led in the Spirit. I'm not the holy pointer outer. That's the Lord's hands. That's the Lord's guidance. It's His judgment that He brings against us. But we also, as a cautionary fact, we said when it came to Job, he says, I make a covenant with my eyes. Remember we talked about that 2 or 3 weeks ago. We need to make a covenant about our decision making and the things that we're thinking as well. We do not involve ourselves in that kind of thinking. Not to get ourselves over in the flesh in that area of our life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we were there once, we're going to go back there. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says in verse 17, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you know that everything in your life was spiritually discerned before you accepted Jesus Christ? You could not understand the things of God, and you couldn't understand the Spirit of God. Why could you not understand it? Because you did not have the Spirit of God. But now you have the Spirit of God. And you're going to hear me say this a lot in the next few weeks, and you've heard me say it before. The Spirit of God that resides in your body is in perfect harmony with the Lord. Let me say that again. And you all know, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, these three are what? These three are one. One in their unity, one in their thoughts, one in their desires, one in their actions. Now you have the Spirit of God that dwells within you, that is in perfect harmony with the Father, and He wants you to listen to that Spirit, be directed by that Spirit, guided by that Spirit, because when you are in harmony with the Father, because the Spirit that is in you is in perfect harmony with the Father. You get it? You've got something that nobody else has. If we say in the North American continent there's 10% of the people in the North American continent know Jesus Christ or have had the born again experience, you're one of a very, very small minority that have the Spirit of God dwelling within your life, and you're in harmony with God because of the Spirit of God that dwells within you. Do you recognize how special that is? You're one of a few. You will think and you will say things that people will just not be able to recognize. Why you would think such a way is what you think, because you're being led by the Spirit. You're not being led by the flesh, because everybody, wide is the gate, but narrow is the way. You're one of a few. What an honor. What an honor to know Jesus. He goes on to verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, committed to you, committed to me, the word of reconciliation. Now then, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him of no reputation to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Verse 20 again, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. To be a representative, if he wants us to be, we must be led by the Spirit in all areas of our lives to be that representative. As an ambassador for a nation, if you're not being the ambassador that the nation thinks that you should be in representing them, they will call you back. Think about that for a moment. Think today, if you were going to be the next ambassador to Israel and you were going to go over there and say all kinds of anti-Semitic things, the United States would call you back. As ambassadors for Christ, are there times that the Lord Jesus thinks about what we say and what we think and what we do, and he just shakes his head and just thinks, no, no, no? Do you think that Jesus ever thinks about us when he was on the cross? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. That sometimes he may think that about us. That we're doing things that are out of characteristic of our life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have such a tremendous blessing, church. He thinks, don't act that way. Don't say those things. Don't think that way. You're representing me. Don't be a Pharisee. No wonder he uses the Pharisees for such a great example in the Bible. We should be able to in tune ourselves to that once in a while. Have you in your walk ever been a Pharisee? Very quick to point something out to somebody else. Yeah, look what they're doing. Look what they're involved in their life in. But me? Wouldn't Pastor Leo tell you in Sunday school? You know I'm not all that in a bag of cookies. Well, neither are you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us is growing and learning as the work of sanctification goes on in each and every one of our lives, that we grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be that ambassador to the world, that the world will recognize in your life, that person has something I don't have and I need it. Happened to me working at Firestone many, many moons ago. Somebody witnessed to me, somebody shared with me, and I saw something in their life that they did not have. There was an attraction there, not because of the person. I wasn't attracted to him. I couldn't even hardly tell you his name now. I don't even know what happened to him, but I seen something in his life that I didn't have. I didn't have that peace. I didn't have that joy. I didn't have that contentment. And I needed it in my own life. It'd be interesting what brought you to the house of the Lord. What brought you into your relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ? There was a connection for Jesus and the woman at the well. It was a cup of water. And she saw a need in her life that she needed. I want to create a thirst in people's lives. And that should be all of our desire, to create that thirst. That there's something there, something lacking in their life. And the only way that I'm ever going to be able to create a thirst in people's lives is to make sure that I am being led by the Spirit of God. Let us pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We rejoice in this day. We rejoice in this day. We rejoice in these people. I'm standing here, Father, in the midst of people that have been born again, have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They are new creations in Christ Jesus. And we celebrate that today, Father. We celebrate that today. Now, Father, continue that work of sanctification in each and every one of our lives so we could be the ambassadors that you want us to be. And we ask it all today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Have a great day, everybody. God bless you all. You're dismissed.